Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Never Sorry. A documentary filmmaker follows Chinese artist and digital dissident Ai Weiwei and the rise of the evangelical Protestant movement in Guatemala. But first, dark skies over cloudland. Between 1978 and 1988, the murders of seven women in New Hampshire and Vermont were attributed to the Connecticut River Valley serial killer. Investigations of several suspects and one deathbed confession went cold. And the killer was never found. Novelist Joseph Olshan's Cloudland is a fictionalized crime thriller based on that case. Cloudland is the name of a rarely traveled road in an upper valley village where the crocuses don't bloom until April and where anyone not born in the region will always be from away. Olshan was an outsider living in the area when the sixth and final victim was found. We spoke to him last spring when the book came out. It's now in paperback. Olshan talked with us about how the fear of a roving murderer fractured the small town stillness of the upper valley.
It's a place where people usually leave their doors unlocked and go out at night jogging on the roads. And I just sensed that people were afraid, especially the people who had moved there from places like New York City and Boston, who were hoping to escape the kind of fear of the urban fear of being attacked, suddenly had to kind of reconnoiter and think twice about whether or not they're going to lock their doors.
Mm. And you became connected in your own way to what happened there.
A few people that I knew, one who became a very close friend, were actually out walking, and they saw what they thought was a person taking sun leaning against a tree. And she was wearing a ski parka, and they went for a walk. And when they came back from the walk, she was in the same position. And then they realized that she, in fact, was dead and was the nurse from Dartmouth-Hitchcock College who had been missing since the middle of January.
In the book, Catherine Winslow, the narrator of the book, the character finds Angela Parker 2 months after she'd been missing, frozen. What are the other things about the real murders that made it into your novel? Or what did you decide to keep and what did you decide to let go?
For me, I was approaching it in terms of what I could do and what I couldn't do. One of the challenges of being a novelist is to understand what your material is. I hadn't really written about murders before in this way, and so I really had to find my way into it. In a way, I didn't have that much of a choice about what I put in. I could only really write about what I could write about, and I sort of felt my way along in terms of the actual writing itself. I wanted to keep the writing at a certain fever pitch as much as possible because I thought that would make whatever story that I was telling compelling. And I found myself hoping to go back to some of these sort of brutal murders to be able to write about it, but in a lyrical way so mm-hmm. that they could be digested by the reader without being overly gruesome, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, especially after reading the book and knowing a little bit of your writing otherwise. And that's something that a lot of reviewers actually comment on, the way that you sort of, with sensitivity but directness, kind of use this language. And I'm curious about how you found a voice as a woman. She's kind of prickly, too. I wondered how you came upon this voice.
I mean, she's actually a composite of three different women that I know, all of whom are very, very strong and domineering in their own way. And these women are sort of like mother figures to me. They're always kind of chastening me and telling me that I should be better at what I do and very sort of quick with an opinion. So it was really, in a way, in my blood.
And Catherine is also a former investigative reporter for the New York Times. She's now writes a household hints column. Did you have to find out all these household hints? Can you actually get water stains out of wood with salt and mineral oil? Or
supposedly.
Something?
I mean, I did do my research, and so I did find out that these things are possible.
Well, what purpose does that serve also? She's a household hint person. I mean, why did you choose that?
I actually do know somebody who did, a few people who have done columns like this, and I was kind of fascinated by it. And I thought that would be a great sort of counterpoint to somebody who was once in the world of really, really hard journalism and just felt that they couldn't make it and they wanted to retire to do something else, which is sort of journalistically related, but not nearly as challenging because this character has sort of, she was living in the big city and she retired from life and to the country, and she wanted to sort of keep her hand in the journalistic trade, but to do something that's not going to be so debilitating. Mm. Although she's not really proud of it either.
Yeah. She writes under a pseudonym.
Right, you know. Right.
And the town is very much a character in this, I think. Like several towns in the region, you have, you know, the rich absentee landowners and the local caretakers. You have the college professors, you know, living next to the loggers. But it all gets kind of mixed up under the specter of this violence.
Well, I mean, I think that violence is the great equalizer, obviously. I mean, everybody is going to be, anybody who steps outside their house is going to be potentially a victim of a serial killer. And I also think that these events bring people together. They can put aside sort of socioeconomic differences and sort of band together in terms of trying to solve a problem that's sort of bedeviling a community.
One thing about this book, though, there are cell phones in the book. People are sending texts. So it is set in a contemporary time. Why did you choose to set it at now instead of then?
I felt that setting it in the late 80s would require me to set up a time frame, mm-hmm. which I felt it was going to draw the blood from the novel into places where it didn't necessarily need to go.
Catherine has a troubled relationship in her past with a student. She's quick to point out he had left her class, but nonetheless, she's scarred by it, both sort of physically. He tried to strangle her at one point, and definitely emotionally. You know, you mentioned that you modeled her after several strong women, but yet she sort of takes this man back. Why?
When one loves, one does things maybe that are not necessarily rational. I mean, they have the expression, the heart wants what it wants, and sometimes against reason. The heart wants what it wants. And I think this man made a very deep impression on her. And I think that her reaction to him is sort of part motherly. You know, I think that he makes her feel young. I think that she is drawn back in partly against her will and partly because she feels that she has to complete something.
How about the place? You know, if a place can be scarred, like Catherine's neck, perhaps, how do you think the memory of that time and those murders has lived or stayed with this area?
It has stayed, and people are still, even to this day, working it out. When I went and did a reading in Norwich, which is 25 miles away from the town that I lived in, and the reading was packed, and quite a few people who attended the reading were people who had some connection to the victims. And the fact that somebody had written about it, they felt, in a way, they wanted to see what was done with the book and to sort of make contact with the person who'd written the book. And I've had that quite a bit, people who have had some connection to one of the victims contacting me, as if that's going to help them somehow deal with it. And I think it's a kind of scar that, you know, it is a scar, and so it never does go away, and people have to learn to live with it.
Joseph Olshan is a former book reviewer for The Wall Street Journal and author of 9 novels, including Clara's Heart and Night Swimmer. His novel Cloudland is out in paperback this month, and you'll find links to more on the book and on the real serial murder case that inspired it at wordofmouthradio.org.